Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, and specifically we're going to look at verses 7 through 20. The question comes up from time to time whether this woman of Endor that had the familiar spirit really called up Samuel, or whether she just had a familiar spirit that spoke with a voice that sounded like Samuel. Several people have asked me over the years whether this woman was really able to call him up. Most of them believe that Samuel didn't really come up. I mean, he was dead. And that rather what happened is the voice of the familiar spirit imitating Samuel spoke to Saul. However, if you read the text carefully and believe what you're reading, you realize, I believe, that the woman called up Samuel and that Samuel himself spoke to Saul. Now, concerning the ability of women with familiar spirits to call up people or make it sound like they're calling up people, in a seance, for instance, it is astonishing that these women can call up spirits, and that the spirits they call up imitate the voice and knowledge of a real person who is deceased. I remember distinctly the case of a preacher who was asked by one of his church members to check out a woman that was leading a seance in their community. This woman had a real desire to speak with her relative, and so she went to the seance. And during the seance, they called up this woman's relative, and she spoke with her relative, and the person that she spoke with had an identical voice. I think it was her mother, an identical voice, and knew facts that were impossible for the woman conducting the seance to know. In other words, she was in contact with somebody. So, boy, she was really concerned about this and went to her preacher and confessed that she had attended this seance, but was so concerned because she really did talk to her relative. Well, the preacher attended the seance, and the woman leading the seance called up his mother. Now, the voice that the preacher heard was his mother's voice, and the voice speaking proved itself by identifying two relatives of which the preacher had no knowledge. Well, when he left the seance, he just laughed the thing off. He said, well, this is a hoax. I mean, you know, this woman, this leading the seance, has mentioned two relatives that I have, like an aunt and an uncle, that I never had. So he just laughed off the experience. He said, well, this is just a hoax because these relatives don't exist. At least they didn't exist as far as he knew. So later, the preacher was talking to one of his relatives, and he said, you know, I hate to confess that I went to this seance, but I did, and I know the thing is a hoax because the voice, though it sounded like my mother's voice, identified two relatives of which I have no knowledge, and the person that he spoke to was pretty knowledgeable of their family history and said, who are the relatives? And he told them, and his relative said, you better look into that because you do have an aunt and uncle by those names. And so he did some research. And when he did, he discovered these relatives, and he discovered that all of the information revealed to him by the Spirit about these two people, like when they were born, when they died, where they lived, that kind of stuff, was perfectly accurate. So, man, he's like, oh, now this is a real problem. I got to go back. So he went back for a follow-up visit. And at the second seance, his mother's voice was heard again. They called up his mother, and his mother's voice was heard again. This time, though, he said to the woman speaking, "You told me that if I want to go to heaven, when I was a child, you told me if I want to go to heaven, I need to trust the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation." Now, when he said that, the voice of his mother speaking, said, "Well, son, it's not exactly like that. If you want to be where I am, you need to be a good person like I taught you to be." So this spirit that was speaking, though it sounded just like his mother's voice and knew facts that were real that this man didn't even know, this preacher didn't even know, this spirit would not confess the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how the preacher knew that this spirit was false. The spirit was not his mother. But isn't it remarkable that the spirit which spoke with his mother's voice knew such precise details about the preacher's relatives? I'm telling you, you know, when you get into this kind of stuff like in 1 Samuel chapter 28, I understand it's hard to discern what's really going on here, particularly knowing that this woman has a familiar spirit. So there is concern that the spirit called up by the woman of Endor was not really Samuel, but rather a spirit that imitated the appearance and voice of Samuel. I mean, Israel had been warned in Deuteronomy 18:11 not to go to a consulter with familiar spirits. You know, they weren't to go to several things. There were several things in the list that the men and women of Israel were forbidden. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11, "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." So they had all kinds of ways, like we say about the occult, they had all kinds of ways to make contact. And that's why they were warned not to do this. Nevertheless, if we go through and we study what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 28, which is what we're going to do, I believe that you will see that, in fact, the woman does call up Samuel. In other words, I don't know. I know she didn't have the power to do this. God made it happen. There was definitely a supernatural intervention by the hand of God. But I believe the person who spoke with Saul that day was Samuel. And you know, you might say, well, if God's going to do that, why did he just answer him through the dreams or through the prophets or through the Urim, like he said here in verse 6? And I think that was to show the definite apostasy of Saul. Now, here's the evidence. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, look at verse 12. When the woman, okay, so what does she do? The woman said, in verse 11, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. The woman cried with a loud voice when she saw Samuel. Well, that's interesting because his appearance was evidently something unusual, and his appearance was evidently something frightening for her. In other words, in her work as a woman with a familiar spirit, she's not used to seeing what she saw when she called him up. Probably what she's used to is that voice, like you heard about in the seance, rather than the apparition. So that scared her. And then again in verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." The woman, after she saw Samuel, knew immediately that the man disguised before her was Saul. If you'll remember, Saul disguised himself, according to verse 8, put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. He's disguised. She doesn't know who he is at this point. But as soon as she sees Samuel, then she knows that the person who has disguised himself is Saul. And she didn't know this until after she'd seen Samuel. So this is particularly concerning to her because Saul had made a decree that there would be no one there. He put away all those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land, according to 1 Samuel 28:3. So she's scared. All right, now, in verse 13, when Saul asked the woman what she saw, she said she saw gods ascending out of the earth. Look at verse 13. The king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." Now that's really gonna have her spooked. Now, you know that when Samuel died, his body would be in the grave. You know that. But you also know, when you've studied your Bible, that his soul would have been in Abraham's bosom after his death. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 is about Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man. Lazarus had been laid at the gate of the rich man, hoping that he could be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs came and licked his sores. All right. Luke 16:22 says, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried," watch it, "by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." So the rich man, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, and he got there because he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man just wound up in hell. Okay? Well, these angels that carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom evidently are the gods, I put that in quotation, that the woman with the familiar spirit saw when Samuel came up to speak with Saul. That's what she saw. Those, she said, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Those are probably those angels, the same ones that would have taken Lazarus into Abraham's bosom that are now bringing Samuel up. So she's really not used to seeing this kind of vision with her familiar spirit. And it's an indication that the person coming up is not just the voice of the familiar spirit, because the gods are there, the angels are there bringing him up. All right, here's the next thing. That was verse 13. Look at verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 14. Saul wanted a physical description of the man that the woman with the familiar spirit saw to determine if he really was Samuel. I mean, he's checking the woman out, see. So in verse 14, he, that is Saul, said unto her, that is the woman with the familiar spirit, "What form is he of? I saw gods ascending out of the earth. What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. So he's looking for a physical description of this man. And when she says, "An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle," that was sufficient description of Samuel to satisfy Saul, and Saul then bowed himself before this man. Now, verse 15. Watch this. Very important. 1 Samuel 28:15. "And Samuel said to Saul." When the Bible says, "And Samuel said to Saul," if this were a familiar spirit and not really Samuel, the Bible wouldn't have said, "Samuel said to Saul." The Bible would have said something like, "And the Spirit said to Saul," or "The woman said to Saul," something like that. But it wouldn't have said, "And Samuel said to Saul." The reason that the Bible says in verse 15, "Samuel said to Saul," is the person speaking was Samuel. At least that's what I believe, because that's what it says. Verse 15, "And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me," watch it, to bring me up? That's a very revealing question, because it shows you that Samuel was in the heart of the earth, that Samuel was in Abraham's bosom at that time. Remember when Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees, and they wanted a sign from him, and he didn't want to give them a sign. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, the only sign he was going to give them was the sign of Jonas. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus Christ said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Well, Abraham's bosom is in the heart of the earth, and that's where Samuel is. Then he is going to be coming up. "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" He's going to be coming up in order to be able to speak with Saul. Well, Saul's reason for bringing Samuel up was also disclosed to us in verse 15. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and look at verse 15. "Saul answered, 'I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee,'" why? "'That thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do.'" Now that question, or that inquiry, is very important, because now Samuel is going to disclose some details. And you're going to notice in verses 16 to 19 that Samuel told Saul the absolute truth concerning every historical and prophetic detail that he revealed to him. And that is extremely important, because as we saw in the case of the preacher who went to the seance, the details weren't accurate. There were some historical details that were accurate, but when it came to the blood of Jesus Christ, that was not accurate. And when it would come to prophecy, here in verses 16 and 19, you know that this is something that Samuel, in fact, is revealing as a prophet to Saul. Now notice what he says in verse 16. "Then said Samuel," not the woman, not the spirit, "then said Samuel, 'Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?'" All right, well, he gave him two facts there. Number one, the Lord is departed from thee. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and let's verify the facts. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In verse 13, "Samuel took his horn of oil and anointed him," that is David, "in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." But, verse 14, "but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." So the first fact is right. The Lord has departed from thee. That's absolutely the truth. And then the second thing in verse 16 that Samuel says is, "the Lord has become thine enemy." The Lord has become thine enemy. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, in verse 10, when David has said to Abishai that they're not going to destroy Saul, although they could have, David said in verse 10, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him." That's right, absolutely. "Or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish." The reason that's true is that the Lord is against him and has become Saul's enemy. And then notice in verse 17, "And the Lord hath done to him," speaking of David, "as he spake by me, for the Lord hath," watch it, "rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." That's absolutely the truth. The Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And look at verse 28. "Samuel said unto him," speaking to Saul, "the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." He's saying the same words that he had said before. He goes on to say in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 28, that he gave that kingdom to David. Well, we read that in 1 Samuel 16, 13. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. There's your new king. And that's where the Lord, that's where the Lord went with the kingdom. So all the facts are lining up perfectly. And then in verse 18, Samuel tells Saul why God did this. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. Well, Saul had trouble with this on several occasions, but the most notable occasion is in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God said through Samuel to Saul, in verse 3, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Kill them all the Amalekites and all the animals. Right? All right, in verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag, that's the king, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Well, that's just pure disobedience of the word of God. And that's exactly what Saul was telling him in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 28, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. And eventually, thankfully, Saul recognized his disobedience and admitted it in verse 24 of 1 Samuel 15. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice rather than the Lord's voice. See? Oh, this bad stuff here. And then going back to 1 Samuel 28, verse 18, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek. You know, he spared Agag. And by the time that Samuel had finished pronouncing the accusations against Saul in 1 Samuel 15:32, Samuel said, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And yes, the Lord was still very, very fiercely angry with Amalek. And Saul wouldn't execute that wrath upon Amalek. So in verse 18, 1 Samuel 28, 18, Samuel goes on to say, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. But now he goes on from there. He says then in verse 19, moreover, now he's going to give some prophecy. The Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. That's prophecy. And that ain't coming from a familiar spirit. You know what that is? That is coming from the Lord through Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 7, when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. Came to pass exactly like Samuel said that it would. And then in verse 19, Samuel goes on to say to Saul, in 1 Samuel 28, 19, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Whew. Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Well, he's talking about death, but he's talking about more than death. And in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 31, the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. That left one, Ishbosheth or Eshbaal. And Saul himself died. He was so wounded that he took a sword and fell upon it and died in verse 4. All right, so Samuel was right, and that all happened the next day. Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, he said. So this is absolutely true. Saul and his three sons, three of his sons, died in the battle the next day. Now, for sure, I believe Jonathan would have gone to Abraham's bosom to be with Samuel. But the question is, what about Saul? Saul, on the other hand, probably went to hell because, as you saw in 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Samuel says here, thy son shall be with me. He says, tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Some people say, well, then that meant he had to be in Abraham's bosom. Not really. Saul would have been with Samuel in that hell and Abraham's bosom were together in the heart of the earth. You've heard people say the word Sheol, because hell and Abraham's bosom were only separated by a great gulf. You see that in Luke 16:26. They're both in the heart of the earth. They're both in one compartment, which people have referred to as Sheol. On one side, Abraham's bosom. On the other side, hell, and there's a separation by a great gulf. If you'll go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look in verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, where we're getting down now with the heroes of the faith to David's generation. Verse 32 says, What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, watch it, and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Saul's not in the list. That's telling. So this passage here, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 7 to 20, every detail of the prophecy came to pass exactly as Samuel prophesied. You know, the sign of a true prophet is that he speaks in the name of the Lord, and what he says come to pass. That's Deuteronomy 18. This wouldn't have happened if the person speaking was a familiar spirit rather than Samuel. So I believe that the evidence in the text indicates that Samuel actually came up out of Abraham's bosom as an old man covered with a mantle and spoke directly to King Saul about his apostasy and about his impending doom to happen the next day. So I believe that's how it is. And I hope this Bible study today has been helpful for you to understand a difficult passage of Scripture. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.